Hi there, my name is Ishmael Ozan, and many of you know me as the Dane County District Attorney, but I am also a husband and a father of two young girls. Today I am asking you to make the choice my wife and I made, to not use physical punishment with our children. Many of us are not aware that over 16 years ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics urged doctors to recommend that parents not use physical punishment on their children. Today, over 100 years of research on children and families supports this recommendation. Look, well-meaning parents may use physical discipline intending to teach their children to make good choices, but we now know that physical discipline actually leads to more disobedience and aggressive behaviors in children. We all want what is best for our kids. Today, we now know what is best for kids is parenting based on respect, mutual understanding, and logic, rather than fear of physical pain. Please join me in learning more about positive parenting and creating a violence-free home.
Paid for by the Dane County District Attorney's Office with support from UW Health American Family Children's Hospital.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another edition of SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. And for the last time...
When we faced an uphill climb with a future not too bright, there was one man for the time who was promising to fight. He would stand up for us all. Now he's standing 10 feet tall, from Ashland to Monroe. We will stand with Governor Walker.
Last time you'll ever have to hear that, Scott.
I appreciate you doing that. I appreciate you doing that to me, Sly.
Well,
providing me with that, you know, ear love. Through the magical dulcet tones of Glenn Schulfer.
All right, so before we get started, let me just play a little bit of the coverage from Green Bay when outgoing Governor Walker signed these lame duck bills. I think it's rather instructive.
Three lame duck bills he signed into law today.
Balanced news and severe weather coverage. This is Fox 11 News at 5.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Walker signed the bills just 24 days before he leaves office.
Yeah, and while in Green Bay today, Walker ignored pleas from Democrats and some Republicans to veto the measures. Tonight, we bring you balanced coverage.
In a room full of reporters and with a stroke of multiple pens, Governor Scott Walker signed three bills into law, one of which includes weakening the incoming Democratic governor's powers.
These bills don't fundamentally change the power of not just the next governor, but any governor thereafter.
However, a deal like the one Walker agreed upon with Kimberly Clark would not be possible under Governor-elect Tony Evers, because now a similar deal would need approval from the legislature.
If there's something technically that he believes is a challenge, then he'll be fully capable to work with the legislature to make that happen.
None of this would have happened, that this legislation would have happened if Governor Walker would have been elected instead of me.
Now, in the past, there had been some discussion about the possibility of Walker issuing some line item vetoes. However, that did not happen, and he signed all of those bills in their entirety.
All right. So there, that sets the stage for where we're at today. What I was wondering was, at One Wisconsin Institute, if you're going to have a tutorial in Venn diagrams in the future, Scott.
You seem to make some news with, not just like these attacks on the separation of powers and these attacks on voters and the attacks on the will of the people, but also his attack on, you know, on charts and graphs and the definition of a Venn diagram for sure. The problem is, you know, if it wasn't so darn serious what they were doing, you know, the Venn diagram stuff would be funny. And listen, we did stuff. I mean, we put one out with Nixon and Walker and Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber. Because, you know, this isn't how Venn diagrams work, but who cares? The way in which they have gone about this, the way in which they have, this unprecedented, undemocratic, unconstitutional, un-American attack on the will of the voters is just, it's appalling. It is appalling. And you know, I find it so disconcerting that now we've moved on to the next thing. You know, that we're so conditioned that the Republicans get to do whatever the hell they want to in the state of Wisconsin, you know, that we don't get to, like, tap the brakes and say, you know, wait one second. We all voted to give the Democrats the power of the governor's office and the attorney general's office.
Yeah.
And you are trying to and you are taking that away.
A record number of people voted in a midterm election.
Absolutely, and a record number of people early voted in a midterm election. And so, of course, what is part of this attack that Robin Voss and Fitzgerald and Walker have done, which is to attack the right of attack the right to vote. You know, because again, they have always operated on this premise, which is if we prevent people of color from voting, Republicans will do better. And we've gone to court at One Wisconsin, and we have beaten them, and we are going to go back to court, and we are going to beat them again.
Well, let's start out with that. And I tried to print the whole thing out. For some reason, it didn't show up. But evidently, you have a Mr. Helper. I bet you didn't know that. But I know legal fees and attorneys cost a lot of money for a lawsuit. Rick Essenberg from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty put a piece in Right Wisconsin critiquing the legal challenges you're making to the voter ID bill. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. But, you know, then again, I probably would read the Glenn Schulfer bio before I'd go and read Right Wisconsin.
Well, he has
please, since you have done the hard work, what is the Foundation's chief legal yapper have to say?
Can you pull it up on your computer screen?
I sure can.
Because I tried to print it out, and because I'm inept, most of it didn't print, so I don't have it. But maybe you can take a look at it. And he gives three or four reasons why he thinks that your bill or your lawsuit is the wrong way to go and challenge.
Oh, there it is. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
What is number one? Number one is the Bradley Foundation tells us we're allowed to deny black people the right to vote. The Bradley Foundation has $850 million, and they have told us that we get to say that black people can't vote. Is that his number one reason? I haven't gotten to that point yet. But, I mean, let's just be very... First, this is what a clown car he is.
He's Mr. Helper.
You know, I know that the first thing he said... I'm looking at it now, and I see the first thing that he says is, we're judge shopping. I want to just point out that the legal action we filed was with the judge who made the decision. So we literally, judge shopping would be if you talk to any other judge on planet Earth.
That would be
judge shopping. We went to the guy who made the decision, who called it unconstitutional, who called the attack specifically targeted at disenfranchising Milwaukee African Americans because it gave Republicans they believed a political advantage. That is in his decision. That is why he threw it out. And we are simply asking him to enforce what he said in his decision. That, you know, maybe the media can pretend like that the election didn't happen and the Constitution doesn't exist, and maybe the Republicans pretend that, and maybe the rest of us have to go on with our lives. But maybe there is a judge out there who has written a decision saying this is unconstitutional. We'll say, wait a second, I said this is unconstitutional. It hasn't changed just because you don't like the results of an election.
All right. So they made some changes from the last time they tried suppressing the vote. What are those changes, and do you think it changes the legal argument?
No, huh? Because, again, Judge Peterson in his decision said that restricting the time for early voting was designed to intentionally disenfranchise. You know, it was a time to was designed to intentionally disenfranchise voters of color, that it was racially motivated. So having restrictions on early voting, whether they are, you know, what the Republicans did or more expansive than what the Republicans did, it is essentially, he has said, you would only be restricting early voting because you want to create a partisan advantage through discriminatory means. And so that's what...
Right.
That's what, you know what I mean? So there's no, like...
There wasn't one tiny piece of this that said, if you fix this, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not. I mean, it's not.
It's my understanding this case is still The original case is still working its way through the courts. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. It's before the Seventh Circuit. We appealed stuff that we didn't get, and the state appealed stuff. It, you know, appealed our victory, and that's been like almost 2 years. So very clearly, the Seventh Circuit does, you know, has some reticence about weighing in on this. In terms of what Judge Peterson's decision was, but you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I know it's been a really, really long time. And what I know is, again, we still live in a democracy. You know, we live in a democracy, and you can't just tell people they can't vote because of the color of their skin. That is unconstitutional. And I don't care if Brad Schimmel's the Attorney General. I don't care if Josh Call's the Attorney General. I don't care if Judge Judy is the Attorney General. You cannot prevent people from voting because of the color of their skin in the United States of America.
Well, hasn't Brad Schimmel, in fact, bragged that the voter ID law helped Donald Trump get elected?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, they do let the cat out of the bag sometimes on those things. But those, again, are, you know, remember, you know,
those are Glenn Grothman moments.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is that, you know, again, people did speak very loudly and clearly on Election Day about wanting a change in the direction of the state. And what is the worst thing about all of this, is, aside from the, you know, in addition to the discrimination, is that in this country, we have always, always made ourselves feel good about ourselves with good reason, because we have a peaceful and orderly transition of power from one election to the next. And they have violated this. Robin Voss has sneeringly violated this, this thing that we have, that makes this country great. And so if we are going to act in this way, then we should treat the Republicans in this way. And I don't think that, you know, and I personally am not up for kumbaya moments, as long as powers are stripped away from, you know, people who were elected to do the job that they were doing. And so, you know, as far as Robin Voss goes, you know, Scott Walker may be, you know, Scott Walker can move on .org, do whatever the hell he's going to do next. But if Ross, you know, if Robin Voss, wants, you know, to paraphrase Ric Flair, you know, if Robin Voss wants to be the man, he's going to be beaten like the man. And, you know, we intend to use all of the tools and tactics at our disposal to ensure that Robin Voss is held accountable once and for all, gets the proper vetting that he should have gotten a long time ago when he became the Speaker, and if he is seeking to be the most powerful elected politician for the Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, we are going to treat him as such, and that means that he is a threat to democracy, and he is a threat to our way of life.
Well, it's kind of an open secret that he does pay for play, and I'm just wondering why Wisconsin laws have not been enforced.
Well, I mean, let's not forget that when Robin Voss doesn't like the laws of the state of Wisconsin, he changes them. And in fact, you know, remember that he changed the law, and this was in part to protect Walker, but it also helped Robin Voss consolidate his power when they changed the campaign finance laws, as they got rid of the Government Accountability Board oversight, and they allowed the coordination for the first time between independent groups and political campaigns. And so right now, for instance, Robin Voss's current spouse has been paid $238,000 from 2014 to 2016 to raise $3.5 million for the independent group founded by disgraced former Republican Speaker Scott Jensen, whose entire goal is to continue to have a majority for Republicans in the Assembly so that Robin Voss can remain the Speaker.
And this is all happening under the Voss household?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But coordination is fine now.
Yes, exactly, under his Vossbuses, if you will.
Do you see anything else in Rick Essenberg's argument that you find interesting?
No, you know, and I couldn't get past the first part was so ridiculous I couldn't get past. I mean, you know, listen, we had a record amount of voting, as you said. We had 2.67 million people went out and voted in this midterm election, shattering midterm election voting records. 565,591 people chose to early vote. That's over 20% of the voting population. And what do the Republicans want to do when they don't get the results they want? They try and rig the elections in their favor. And, you know, listen, if you look at all the drafting records, because we went through all of them, and this is part of our filing, the bill writers warned Robin Voss that they were thumbing their nose at the federal judge's decision, that they were playing with fire in what they were doing, and they just didn't care. And so, you know, we're going back to court. We have filed our motion. We're awaiting, you know, we're awaiting what their response is, and we will, and we'll proceed from there. Because, you know, the right to vote, I don't care who you vote for. I mean, that's the nice thing about my organization. You know, the laws have changed, but One Wisconsin Now hasn't changed. We could tell people how to vote. We don't care how people vote. We only care that they go out and vote, and that they have the opportunity to vote if they want to. And so, you know, the fact that they're trying to restrict this right that so many, you know, have done so much to ensure that it's protected, you know, it's not, you know, and the thing is, this is the thing about it, Sly, is that I know, you know, Fitzgerald and them are saying, well, we want, you know, uniformity, you know, and in the talking points that we obtained from the Republican Assembly Caucus, they said, Ashland has 2 weeks and Milwaukee has 6 weeks. There's 8,200 people in Ashland and some for 500,000 in Milwaukee. Okay? And, you know, the way that voting, you know, so there's, you know, so there was the Jim Crow voting restrictions of the South. And then there was the James E. Crow Esquire voting restrictions of the North and the West. And the most effective voting restriction, voter suppression tactic that Republicans have engaged in was created by now dead Supreme Court Chief Justice William Rehnquist of Shorewood. He came up with the Arizona Project in the 1960s, and what that project was we're going to go into places where we believe the predominant voter is Democratic, and since those are cities, we're going to try and shut the polling places down with frivolous challenges, with challenging people whether or not they're eligible to vote, to create long lines so that people go home instead of casting their vote. And if you don't think that that's what all these voting attacks have been, think about the fact that the voter ID law we have in Wisconsin, you not only have to get your voter ID out, you have to get a polling book. They have to find your name in the book. You have to get a pen out. You have to have the book turned around to you. You have to sign that book. They have to look to make your signature is the same as on your ID, and then they put the vote away. And I mean, think about that. For every single voter in the state of Wisconsin, that has to happen.
Well, not to mention
the polling places.
The state,
and that's ridiculous.
Not to mention,
and again, it's about creating those long lines so people in cities go home instead of exercising the franchise.
Not to mention the Department of Motor Vehicles moving their facility when they rebuilt Hill Farms to an obscure place on the west side that's almost impossible to get to.
Absolutely.
We'll be back with Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now, at slysoffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome back to slysoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Also, Madison Firefighters, Local 311, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and our friends at the Madison Teamsters, Local 695. All right, so let's talk a little bit. Let's continue to talk about what's going on. It's not easy to fight the state and what they're doing here. You've got attorneys, but attorneys cost money. They're probably giving you a pretty good rate, but how can people help?
Sure, we are encouraging people to our gang isn't the big giant corporate donations. We're the $10, $15, $25 donors, and that's what we're relying on. So people can go to One Wisconsin Now and just click on the donate link. We also on our Twitter feed have a up at the top of our Twitter feed is a link to the voter our Voter Rights Defense Fund if people want to contribute. And listen, I know it's the holidays. If people can't do it, they can't do it. Help next year, whatever you can do. And we, it's been great because I'll tell you, we've gotten so many people reach out to us and say, how can we help? Because they care about the right to vote, and because they, they recognize how wrong what's going on in Wisconsin is, even though we're about to have a change in leadership, that the Republicans will do and say anything to try and win an election. They will do and say anything in order to try and keep their power. And, it's not just up to elected officials to stop this.
I see
all of us.
I see Robin Voss isn't happy that Governor-elect Evers picked four people in top positions from the Milwaukee area.
Yeah, I was a little, it's not unexpected, But, you know, I went back and looked at what Walker did. Walker rolled out all 16 of his appointments at one time. And Governor-elect Devers has gone over to Milwaukee to point out, like, here's four people who are going to do, you know, varying degrees of diversity, who are going to, you know, help try and move the state forward. And Voss's knee-jerk reaction, of course, was, I mean, that's what had me, you know, that's why I happened to have that information about, you know, he and Litchens and the Jobs First stuff, was because I was personally offended by his hypocrisy in calling out. Because Joel Brennan's brother-in-law is one of the 80,000 people on the Evers transition team, that's somehow, you know, I mean, that his marital relations are a part of why he, you know, he's compromised. I'm like, for God's sakes, Robin, your current spouse, you know, is fundraising for the independent. So, like, basically, you know, like, and I'm not a fool, you know. But I would be darn pressed my bet is that after people do business with Robin, that it ain't too long after that they get calls from Jobs First saying, hey, you know, you could give an undisclosed corporate donation to this organization that's going to try and get, you know, try and ensure that the speaker remains the speaker. I mean, give me a break. We know everybody on planet Earth knows that Robin Voss is transactional. I mean, you know, we know that Robin Voss, you know, doesn't think the rules apply to him. We saw that with all the, you know, open record stuff where he talked about it. We saw when we went through his second divorce and saw that he has a gag order in perpetuity against his second wife, you know, his second spouse. So, I mean, this is, you know, this guy doesn't think the rules apply to him. And, you know, as an unmarried 49-year-old, I'm certainly not going to cast aspersions on anybody's personal life, because good Lord knows. But, you know, I think about some of the other Republican luminaries who have been married three times, like Newt Gingrich and Rudy Giuliani and Rush Limbaugh and Donald Trump. And, well, Robin has put himself in good company there, that's for sure.
These other actions that the Republicans took and the governor signed, limiting the power of the governor and the attorney general. And, of course, right now we have a federal judge overturning the Affordable Care Act. The Republicans did the weakest, lamest attempt at protecting pre-existing condition coverage. It was terrible. It was a sham legislation. And now we have, we're still part of this lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act. And yet we elected a governor and lieutenant governor and attorney general that were, you know, clearly one of the reasons they won was health care.
Yes.
And so what can, are there lawyers working on that as well?
I don't know. That's out of my lane. But I would assume that these attacks on the separation of powers will have to be challenged legally. I just do not know what the vehicle and who the vehicle and such and who has standing to be able to make that challenge, you know? So,
I mean, you know, It seems to me that if you're going to make a change in the power structure among the branches of government, that it shouldn't be as simple as just one branch taking power from the other.
Yeah,
and, of course, this is what happened to the Secretary of State's office. This is what happened to the Treasurer's office. And over the years, there are Democrats that have been guilty of this power grabbing as well. But it's wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be clear, though. The comparison is, like, it may exist, but it exists on plane. You know, I can't do the both sides no. To the extent that it's unprecedented what this clown car.
I was not diminishing the clown.
Yeah,
car.
No, I dig. No, I totally understand. Yeah. I just, you know, I mean, again, I think what it is we've been in this pot of water. You know, we all got sort of lowered into this pot of water in 2011. And the heat got turned up really quick, and we were all startled by it. But over time, like, the heat hasn't gone down. They are still power mad. They still think the laws don't apply to them. They still think they can do whatever they want to do for as long as they want to do it. And we're all sitting in this pot where, like, we're forgetting, like, that is not the way things worked. You know, that is not, I mean, I've been here 23 years. That is not the way things were. I mean, I remember when, you know, when Tommy was the governor, it is just outrageous, though. I mean, it's unbelievable where we have gone from then, you know. And again, like, some evolution is bad and some evolution is good. Like, you know, good evolution. There used to be Democrats who would co-author voter ID bills. That certainly doesn't happen anymore. But it also used to be that, you know, you would pass occasionally legislation that had both Democrats and Republicans supporting it. And other than dog and cat bills, that's just not happening here in the state of Wisconsin.
The dog and cat bills. By the way, I have another treat for you today. Paul Ryan's farewell yesterday. Did you see it?
I couldn't bring myself to see it, but I knew that our newspapers in Wisconsin would accurately provide full stenography without the trouble of a Democrat getting to say Paul Ryan's full of beans.
Let's see if this is it. Let me see.
His last speech as
let me try one more time.
The law that brought health care to millions of Americans.
Yeah, that's not it. Oh, I really wish I had it. Anyway, I feel like a failure here. So he said that the key to governing is not changing, and that he's the same person he was when he took office 20 years ago.
He's much wealthier than when he got into office 20 years ago as a result of actions that he took as speaker. That guy needs to go away for a while. I mean, I think, who knows what's going to happen. I am amused by the fact that he is going to go back to Janesville, where when he tried to be first in line to the presidency, his home neighborhood voted 2-1 against that proposition, as well as the entire city in which he lives. So let's see him wander around there. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I have great respect for journalism. I have great respect for people in the media who I work with. But what has gone on in the state of Wisconsin and nationally for the last 20 years, when it comes to the white privilege of Paul Ryan and his absolute lack of any sort of accomplishments, and the way he's been put on a pedestal, some intellectual god, is perhaps the most irresponsible thing in politics that I have seen in the 25 years that I've been involved in things when it comes to in terms of the media. Like, it's just ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And again, I thought it's just amazing, the amazing juxtaposition between the way that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is being treated as at the same age as Paul Ryan, and the way that every word that she says is scrutinized because of potential inaccuracies, and Paul Ryan just whatever he says is right because he's a rich white kid from a good family.
Yeah, although she may want to stay away from using the term self-care break. That wasn't a good one. But you're right, and the truth is, last night, Ruth Conniff went on MSNBC and took Paul Ryan apart, pointing out all the factories that closed in his district while he was a congressman, and all the free trade deals that he supported when he was in Washington, but pretended to be against when he was back in his district.
Mm-hmm.
So the truth is, I don't think Paul Ryan changed. I mean, this is a man who, his class basically voted him best brown noser at Janesville Craig. I don't really think his character changed one bit, but he did get richer.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And now he's going to get fabulously rich. So you're good at looking around corners. I want you to put yourself into the mind, the space of Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald, on what you think they're plotting next.
I think they're plotting on how they can try and make Governor-elect Evers seem weak on the state budget. Because, I mean, Governor-elect Evers is doing think about that. In 1 week, he met with more people, had more people in a non-invite-only, non-closed event in 1 week than Walker had the last 5 years. Since hopping off of the presidential campaign bus in September 2015, Scott Walker did not hold an event other than until we got into the heart of the campaign we just had. That for 4 years, he did not have an event where you could walk into the event. You had to be invited. The press was, barred from a lot of these events. It was lobbyist created. He flew the state plane like $60,000 to all these events. We know that from all of our work on Walker's plane travel. And that was, just in that, what a change of direction, right? Where people actually get to feel, get to have what they think heard, at least aired and considered. And that is such an amazing change. And I'll tell you what, Sly, I think the biggest way the Republicans are going to shoot themselves in the foot on all this stuff is regarding the Supreme Court. We're going to have a state Supreme Court race in April 2019 to try and preserve, you know, the progressive seat that has been held for 40 years by Shirley Abramson. There's a, you know, a Scott Walker lawyer, you know, even worse than the last Scott Walker lawyer they put up that got shellacked all around the state. This guy's even worse.
Brian Hagedorn,
and he's facing Judge Lisa Neubauer out of the Racine area. They actually sit on the same appeals
circuit.
Court.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be an interesting race. And again, progressives have had challenges because their voters are staying home in these April elections. Robin Voss and all these other folks say, it doesn't matter, Democrats, what you did. We're going to just hold the state budget hostage. That is not the place where you want to be going into an election. And you especially don't want to, you know, want it to continue going into 2020 where, you know, Donald Trump's going to be on the ballot. And we have, you know, the caped crusader, Dan Kelly, Scott Walker's last appointment to the Supreme Court, up to potentially decide who will control the state Supreme Court, progressives, or will it continue to be held by WMC, I mean the conservatives.
Did you get a Christmas card from the governor this year for all the work that you did?
I did not. It's his war on me enjoying Christmas.
Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now, thank you for what you're doing. Once again, remind people where they can go help your cause here to pay for some of these legal bills.
OneWisconsinNow.org and click on donate.
Scott Ross, thanks for coming on SlysOffice.com and Merry Christmas.
You as well.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.